Yes, sir. It's a Donnie Football Friday here as we get ready for Steelers Cowboys in primetime. How many times do you think they've played in primetime? You said something about this being...
This is their first Sunday night football matchup.
Have they ever had a Monday night matchup? I'm trying to think of the games like the ones we talked about, Deshae Townsend picking off Romo.
They have a lot of 425s. Yes. They have a lot of 425 national games, whether it's CBS or Fox.
Right. Yeah, I think of that. I think of Ben, one of his first great
Ben's
comebacks.
Rookie year.
Yeah. I think Cordell's first game. None of those were primetime games. None of them.
No, I saw something
like
the other
nighttime
day.
Games.
This is the first Sunday night football game.
The last time that they played in primetime, according to Fox, was 1982.
What happened in that game?
Bradshaw and the Steelers defeated Danny White and the Cowboys 36-28.
Wow.
42 years ago.
Danny White
they
against Bradshaw
Danny
in a
White,
shootout.
The son of Mike White.
This is incredible. All right, let's bring on Ray Fittipaldo. You like that, don't you, Donnie?
I do. It's always a nice touch.
You seem to have a very keen sense of history, even though you're a rather young man. Do you remember Everybody Loves Raymond? Have you watched it?
So I actually never got into that show and never watched it, even though it's about a sports writer. It seems like something I would enjoy.
Yeah.
And I always liked that guy with the deep voice, his brother.
It's like if they made
a
show.
Ray.
Ray. That guy.
Hello, Ray.
It's like if they made a show about Ron. Everybody Loves Ronnie. Can you imagine if they based it on his actual life? Ray, do you miss Ron? I do.
I miss him. I got to call him. It's been about a week or two since I talked to him. So
you can follow Ray's stuff at postgazette.com. He's on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And Ray is brought to you by LGKG Injury Lawyers. 7 locations in the Pittsburgh region. They'll take your personal injury case personally. LGKG.com. First order of business, Ray, please set us straight on the injuries. Who's in? Who's out? There's a number of them and a number of it's seemingly questionable situations.
Well, Jalen Warren and Cordero Patterson guys haven't done anything this week, not Wednesday or Thursday. They're out there stretching right now, so we could have a surprise there, but I doubt either of those guys are going to be in the lineup. So probably Aaron Champlin, again, is the number two, and then Jonathan Ward, likely a practice squad call-up to play special teams and be the number three running back. And to me, the big injury to watch later today is Larry Ogunjobi. He left practice early with a groin injury. Ogunjobi isn't a stats compiler, but I think he's been really active this year, and he's been a big part of that run defense. So if he can't play, they're going to have to lean on guys like Isaiah Loudermilk and some of the other backups to contribute more.
Ray, do we think Roman Wilson finally gets a hat on Sunday night?
He is out there looking better, Donnie, but it seems to me, and I'm just speculating here just based on kind of what I know about Arthur Smith, he is really comfortable dressing four receivers and four tight ends. And, that might have been a foreign concept with other coordinators. But for him, it's okay. I mean, they manufactured, 312 passing yards last week with almost no contributions from a receiver other than George Pickens. So he can get it done in other ways. I know there's going to be a time when Roman Wilson is ready. I just don't sense at that time is this week.
How about Herbig, limited with an ankle? Is he playing?
Yeah, I mean, Mike Tomlin said early in the week that there wasn't much doubt about him playing. I think they just want to get him to Sunday. They are so thin right now at outside linebacker. I don't think they want to take any chances of him getting injured on the practice field. So I would expect him to start. DeMarvin Leal didn't do much, but he'll be the number three again.
That's the story of his career so far, Ray, but go ahead.
I know. I mean, we keep hearing about, his progress, but we haven't seen it manifest itself on the field. And then one other transaction that might happen before the game is Jeremiah Moon. They started his 21-day window on Wednesday. They're thin at outside linebacker, so if they feel like he can help and he can play on teams and maybe take a few snaps, then maybe they would activate him to the 53-man roster.
All right. Now we get to the very curious case of Russell Wilson. If you ask me, if he was in the prime of his career in Seattle, he would have played every game so far. I can't get out of my head that that Adam Schefter reported week one that Russell Wilson told the Steelers he was available. But forget about all that. He had a very, I don't know if it was cryptic, interesting interview yesterday with reporters. Something about him, Ray, and I like him. I think Mark Schlereth termed it toxic positivity. I wonder if there's also delusion in there. I wonder if Russell Wilson thinks he's still the starter here, and as soon as he gets healthy, he's going back in. Let's take a listen to Russell with reporters yesterday, and then we'll get your take.
Like when taking number of practices, number of full practices, like
I play a lot of football. You know, I feel like I'm listening to the doctors, listening to the coach, and just trying to make sure that they're good and I'm good and everything else, and just got a really good week of practice so far. I'm proud of the guys and how hard we've worked, and today's Thursday, so we've got some extra days left, and then obviously there's Friday, and trying to get there too is feel great, and I had a real good practice today. Our team did, and felt really confident today.
What more do you have to do to test the ankle to show this?
Got to meet with the doctors and do some different stuff like that, but just I feel strong. You know, I feel confident, and I love the process that we've been in, just in terms of just making sure that I'm fully ready and ready to go. And I feel like I'm right there. I got an extra day tomorrow, and we still got Saturday and everything else. So that's my mindset. Get ready for.
He loves the process they've been in, Ray, as they're getting him ready to play. My question: will he be the backup? And do you think Russell believes he's still the starter no matter what? And when he's declared ready, he'll go back in.
You know, the backup, the number two thing is interesting because that would signal that that he is closer to being fully cleared. And, you know, what he said about, you know, the doctors still have to do some tests on him. You know, he also said he's been ready in some form or fashion to play for the first month, but it's just, you know, it's only in that emergency situation. So I don't get the sense, right, a strong sense right now, that he's ready to be the starter from the Steelers' perspective. I still think they want to see him move around more and do more in practice. And, you know, the one thing that's interesting, guys, is, you know, how NFL teams label these guys in this practice participation stuff. I mean, he's doing Indy. He's doing team drills the last 2 days. How is he not a full participant? So, you know, the Steelers are maybe – having some leeway there with the practice report. They can sort of do that however they want to do it, but he is getting closer.
Do you think in Russell's mind, he thinks he's the starter and he will be as soon as he's healthy?
I think all starting quarterbacks think that way, Joe. And I think, to be honest with you, all it's going to take is maybe a bad game or two bad games from Justin Fields and we'll be back there again. But to Justin's credit, it hasn't happened yet.
Justin Fields is the only quarterback in the league that has accounted for 100% of his team's offensive touchdowns, 3 rushing and 3 passing. That is quite precisely the definition of most valuable player that could be translated around the league. Maybe the yardage and the actual number of touchdowns isn't staggering, Ray, but what else does he have to do in your mind to finally get that stamp as this team's starting quarterback?
I think he and the entire offense have to play better for 4 quarters. You know, what we saw in Indy was really nice in the second half. But, you know, I pointed out in a story I wrote today, guys, that they haven't scored a point in the first quarter in the past 2 games. They've scored 10 points in the first quarter all season. And that's not something that's sustainable. If you continue to do that, you're not going to be playing ball at a 750 clip like they are. We saw last week that the defense cannot come to the rescue every single week. They're banged up now. You know, Dallas might score some points. So, you know, the Steelers offense has to contribute a little bit more. And, you know, I'm not one of these guys who's going to sit here and tell you that they can't do it, but they haven't done it yet. And I think that's what Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith want to see out of Justin. Put it together for 4 quarters. you know, score 27, 30 points a game and in a game. And, you know, maybe they would have to make a more definitive call on who the starter is.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette. He's on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. All right, we've entered the Ryan Scarpino section of the interview. He used to work with the Steelers in the PR department, and I think he's a very keen observer of the team, Ray. Do you remember Ryan?
Oh, I'm still in touch with Ryan.
I like Ryan very much. So we talked about this earlier in the week. Minka Fitzpatrick hasn't had an interception in over a calendar year, and his last fumble recovery, I believe Mulsey had hair the last time this guy recovered a fumble. It was in the 21 season. So here's more from Ryan. He tweets out, here's something nobody wants to discuss. Since the start of 23, although we just went back further, Minka has zero INTs, zero forced fumbles, although I think he forced one last week, zero fumble recoveries, one tackle for loss, and three passes defensed. This season, he has all zeros, and when he's targeted, QBs have a 149.1 rating, Ray. 9 of 11, 142, one touchdown. I think that people over there go out of their way to protect Minka and make excuses for him. I do. Oh, nobody throws at him. That's why. Really? It shows they're 9 for 11 for 142 and a touchdown. What is happening with Minka?
Where are you getting those numbers, 9 of 11? Is that from where?
I don't know. It's from Ryan's tweet. I'm sure he got that from probably Pro Football Focus or somewhere like that.
Okay. Yeah, maybe Pro Football Reference. You know, I don't want to sit here and tell you I'm a protector of Minka too, but it does seem like, Joe, that opposing offensive coordinators like to stay away from him. You know, 11 targets in four games. You're talking about two or three targets a game. I'm not going to get bent out of shape about teams having that kind of success, you know, in a small sample size. The lack of turnovers, it's I'm sure it's frustrating for him. I'm sure it's frustrating for the Steelers. They're paying him, you know, what, $17, $18 million a year to be that kind of impactful player on their defense, and they're not getting those results. But I do think it's coming. You know, they're playing defense a certain way. They don't take a lot of chances. They kind of let things come to them. I'm not worried about Minka. He's a culture setter in that building. He's one of their guys. After Cam Hayward moves on, it's going to be TJ and Minka. They're not going to get rid of him. I just think his time is coming, and those turnovers will come eventually.
Man, you have more faith than me. Go ahead, Donnie.
Ray, I was going to ask about the guy next to him. He has been one of the pleasant surprises, I think, this season. And I thought when they signed him, given how busy and crazy that week was, it went under the radar. Deshaun Elliott, for me, I think has been one of their best defensive players, maybe outside of Watt and Hayward. What have you seen on his end? He's a guy that has, you know, he's been pretty much ticking every category in that stat sheet week after week.
Yeah, leading tackler on the team, 12 last week in that Colts game. He's been really, really good. He had that pick early on in the season at Atlanta that was obviously important in that game, a low-scoring game where the defense had to come through. So, you know, they got him on a two-year deal, and they're not paying him a lot of money. And when you have money invested in guys like Minka and TJ and Cam Hayward, you got to get those bargain basement deals to come through for you. And Deshaun is one of those guys. I want to say they're paying him like maybe $2 to $3 million a year, if that. And it's not a lot of money. He's playing like he's one of their best players. So I know he's a little banged up now. Got banged up last week. Hopefully he stays healthy. But he's been one of the big, you know, pleasant surprises for this defense through the first month of the season.
I'm not giving up the Minka topic just yet, Donnie Football. Ray, even last year, are you convinced, like, if teams stay away from a guy, that tells me they don't get big pass plays? But I look at some of those games last year, and the likes of Gardner Minshew was lighting them up for some pretty big pass plays. So do you are there numbers out there that would reflect that teams are staying, they respect Minka so much that they're not going anywhere near him? And more to the point, I guess, Terrell Austin before this season said we asked Minkah to do too many things last year, like he was a de facto linebacker at times. Are they deploying him differently this year? Because the bottom line, they're paying him a lot of money to be a turnover maker, you know?
Yeah. And listen, if you look at the defensive stats, I think he's probably right behind Deshaun Elliott in terms of tackles this year. So he's still very active and still very good in run support. And not, Joe, I don't have any numbers to back up the teams for staying away from him. But I mean, just go back through the first month of the season and try to think of a big play where Minkah was targeted, you know, either when he was the help safety or when he was in single coverage. I cannot think of a single instance in my mind where he gave up a big play this season.
Well, I can't see these plays in my mind where he was, but Indy opened up the game with a 42-yard play, and then on their second series, Richardson went 28 yards down the field. Then the question becomes, was he anywhere near the play?
Well, Joey jumped and missed that first pass. I mean, that very easily could have been an interception. That was zone coverage there. Joey was underneath. I can't recall if it was Minkah or Deshaun over the top, but yeah, I mean, they hit that one. That's going to happen. But just in terms of single coverage, Joe, like him being matched up, I think what you saw last week against the Colts, it's a lot of miscommunication, blown coverages. I mean, that tight end over the middle going untouched into the end zone, that's not on Minkah. I mean, that's on the communication and guys screwing up, you know, their calls. So, you know, I don't know how, you know, Ryan came about those numbers. I'm sure they're out there somewhere. But, you know, just from watching all these games, even going back to last season, I just don't see Minkah as, you know, being a big problem in coverage.
Any concerns with Patrick Queen on your end, Ray, or do you think that the fear of his play so far, kind of a disappointing, a lackluster four games, do you think that's being a bit oversold?
Yeah, like I say, it's been oversold. I don't think he's been good, but I do want to give him the benefit of the doubt. He's coming from a different defense, and there was a lot on his plate, Donnie. I mean, he's been asked to be the green dot guy from the time he set foot in the building. And I think you could do all the work you want in May, June, July, and August, but until you get out there in the real games, you know, you're not going to experience things that you have to go through. So, you know, I think by November, you know, probably from the Steelers' perspective, hopefully earlier, you know, he'll be playing better. I just think right now I'm not going to get, you know, too concerned with his level of play. He's a second-team All-Pro. He's a good player. The players like him. The coaches like him. I think eventually he'll turn out to be a good player in the middle of that defense.
I hope so, Ray. I'm a little bit skeptical there as well. Chris Hoke was on yesterday. He used to hammer on Devin Bush for not taking on blocks, and I realize defensive linemen have a responsibility to keep these linemen off their linebackers, but he said he has somewhat of the same worry with Patrick Queen. Like when you're in the weeds there amongst the big trees in the run game, can he take on a block physically and make plays? I think that's a legit concern.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, everyone who comes into the league now, guys, I mean, I think you're taught a different way now. The old days of, you know, shedding a blocker and getting into the hole. A lot of times these guys are taught to cut underneath blocks or to try to make the play with their athleticism rather than brute force. So, you know, I'm sure Hokie is right. I'm sure that Patrick maybe has struggled against some of the bigger offensive linemen coming his way. But I just think it's a different game now than it was, you know, 10, 15 years ago when Hokie was in his prime.
Donnie?
I thought you were going to open up to a free association game.
I did signal. We got our this is like this is like Patrick Queen and Joey Porter in the end zone. Or who yelled at who here? Who yelled at who on that play? Ray. What was the deal there where they had a touchdown pass and who was yelling at Porter in the end zone? Was that Queen saying, what are you doing?
I thought Beanie Bishop was involved in one of those miscommunications.
Was he? Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, we might be thinking of different ones, but yeah, I mean, Queen's the quarterback of the defense. He's probably the one doing the yelling.
Donnie, may I engage Ray in a game of free association?
Yes, you may.
All right, Ray, here we go. Najee Harris, over under 1.2 yards a carry in this game.
Over.
Justin Fields, over under 14 and a half runs in this game.
Oh, under.
All right. I think he should be a big runner in this game. Do you disagree?
I mean, Joe, I mean, Russell's not cleared yet. I mean, he's playing well. Why do you want to put him in danger in the running game?
Because the Cowboys are unbelievably susceptible to the run and the Steelers are down running backs. And didn't Fields have 12 attempts in game one? 10 for 55. He had 14. He ran the ball 14 times in the opener. Why not again?
I get it. He's a weapon, and Dallas is susceptible to that. But if you're going to do that, Joe, you got to tell him to get down, get out of bounds. You don't want him taking hits in the middle of the field.
If they have a fourth and inches, will they do Justin out of the shotgun with a run or just tell him to lean forward behind Zach Frazier this week? Come on, Ray. What are they doing?
Hopefully the Tom Brady sneak. I mean, how hard is it to take a snap from under center? But, you know, Mike Tomlin, after that game, was saying a lot of these guys don't do it. And apparently Justin Fields was one of those guys who didn't do it at Ohio State.
All right. Minka, over under 0.5 interceptions.
Joe, I want to quell your fears, so I'm going to go over.
Minka, over under 0.5 fumble recoveries.
Oh, let's have a night, Minka. Over.
Mike Tomlin, over under 0.5 timeouts that he keeps in his hip pocket.
Oh, he likes to play with pace, so I'll say under.
He likes to play with pace. Over under Tomlin's wasted timeouts, like the one who... Can you explain this, Ray? Because nobody else noticed, which is kind of the whole point. With 6:06 left in regulation, they stop the Colts on third down, create a fourth and five. Their guy's coming out to kick a field goal. It's the most benign situation imaginable.
Yeah.
And he wastes a timeout. Why?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, I don't know. I probably wouldn't have called a timeout there, but...
Nobody in the history of football would have called a timeout there. You're behind in the game. I mean, you need those timeouts. They're just coming out to kick a field goal. Who cares?
But the Colts... If the Colts were smart, they would have bled the clock down to, 5:30 or whatever. So, I mean, I get it. I wouldn't have used it, but I'm not going to hammer him for it.
Thank you, Ray.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Ray.
There he goes, Ray Fittipaldo.
See ya.